really good to be with you this morning. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful to be together? Isn't it wonderful to be together with Christians? Isn't it wonderful to be part of the Church of the Lord Jesus? It doesn't matter what the notice is on the door, does it? It doesn't matter what denomination it is. It's belonging to Jesus that makes all the difference. Isn't that what makes the difference? And this morning, it's just a joy. I just love to be with Christians. I'm not really too concerned what the little notice is above the door or the big notice is. And I just need to warn you that I've been to Romania quite a few times. And when you go to Romania, the services tend to last a little bit longer than they do here in the UK. The first time I went, it was 1 hour. And then 2 hours. And they said, would you speak? I thought, oh, I'm off the hook here. But no, it carried on for 3 hours. What time do you have lunch? So you could have all sorts of times, couldn't you? But it is really exciting to be together and just to share fellowship with you this morning. Now, what I haven't got is I love to share the Word of God and a message, and you know what these preachers are, they have so many points and all the rest of it, but I haven't got anything like that for you this morning. Oh dear. What's it like? And Graham warns me that whatever I do, you've not got to drop asleep. So that's the reason I carry a water pistol with me. And so it keeps everybody awake. It keeps everybody awake. But what I want to share with you this morning is about evangelism. I want to share with you about evangelism. And I want to share with you what's been happening in the county here, in Cumbria, for a long time. And what I want to encourage you this morning is to share your faith. That's really all I'm about this morning. Just to encourage you to share your faith. What day is it today? No! Well, it's Valentine's Day! It's Valentine's Day! Did you not know? Do none of you know it's Valentine's Day? I can't put... Well, if there was one word that would describe Valentine's Day, what would it be? Love. Would it? And isn't it crazy that we live in a world that knows very little about real love? Or it knows what sex is. It knows what that sort of love is. But it doesn't know anything about real love. And why is it, if we are Christians, and we know all about the love of God, and we've been thinking about God's love to us, haven't we been singing those lovely songs this morning about God's love? And isn't it sad that we have never shared, so many of us have never shared that love? Valentine's Day would be a good day to start, wouldn't it? Not just to say to somebody, has anybody bought you a card? Has anybody bought you some flowers today? But wouldn't it be wonderful just to go to somebody today and say, have you ever heard of the amazing love of God? Wouldn't that be a good thing to do? And it's an easy thing today, to do it today, isn't it? Because it's Valentine's Day. Because you're talking about love. So there's all sorts of opportunities, isn't there? Now, because this is a religious meeting, we need to read the Bible. And because we're Christians, we need to read our Bibles. So let's turn in your Bible to Romans chapter 1 and to verse. Well, you hardly need to turn to it, really. It's verse 16. And Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, for the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now I want to jump over in your Bible to 1 Thessalonians and to the first chapter and to verse 5. And he says, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake, for you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. So that you became examples. to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith towards God has gone out. So that we do not need to say anything, for they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from wrath to come. Now then, are you ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Paul is not ashamed of the gospel, and there's a good reason for that. He says, because it is the power of God unto salvation, but it only operates in the hearts and the lives of those who believe. And so the gospel is the power. It's got a power. It's got a tremendous power to change lives. And if you would like your life to be changed, and you want to become a new person, and you want to start again with Jesus, the gospel is, it's through the gospel of the Lord Jesus. It's through his death on the cross, and it's through his resurrection from the dead, that through that, you can receive the power of the Holy Spirit into your life, and you can become a new person. And that's why Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God. The power of God, not the religion of God, but the power of God to everyone that believes. Have you believed this morning? Have you believed? And if you haven't believed, now is the day to believe. Wouldn't Valentine's Day be a good day to believe, wouldn't it? And to experience the power of God in your life. Just to see it. And we see so much of, and hear so much of people's lives being changed. It's a universal power, isn't it? Because it doesn't really matter whether you preach this gospel in China, or you preach it in the UK, or you preach it in Germany, wherever you go. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to every. So it's a universal gospel. And it's a one. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of this gospel because I knew it. And I get, I'm not allowed to get too excited, are you? But, are you? Oh, all right. But I'm getting old, so I might have a heart attack if I get too excited. But I've got to be careful. I'll get excited nearer the end, so it doesn't matter then. We'll get through this. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. And you know, isn't it exciting to know that if you share this gospel with somebody, that you don't have to know their background. You don't have to know how many bad sins they've done. You don't know how many murders they've committed. You don't know how many rapes. You don't have to know any of that. You don't have to know how long they've been in prison. But just to know this, that the gospel message will change their life. It doesn't matter how far away from God they are, the gospel is able to bring them in and to save them and make them a new person. And that's why the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Isn't that wonderful? It's an exciting gospel, isn't it? And then we read the verses in Thessalonians, didn't we? Did we read in Thessalonians? Oh, you remember that. Oh, I'm glad you remember that. Which Thessalonians was it? Do you remember? One. Do you remember the chapter? Do you remember which verse? Oh, my goodness. I have to be careful here because you remember what people say, don't you? But did you remember that Paul says, our gospel came not in word only, but it became in power. Now, that's enough. You know, anybody can prepare a sermon, can't they? Can't anybody prepare a sermon? Anybody can do that. You just need to have a bit of practice and a little bit upstairs and or read it. You could even get a sermon online on the internet, couldn't you? You can get them to a penny. To a penny to get sermon. But I tell you this, you can't get power anywhere, can you? You can't get the, and Paul says that our gospel came not in word only, but in power. And it's the power of God through the word of God that changes people's lives. And if you and I are going to be witnesses for God, we're going to have to live pure lives before God, and we're going to have to seek God in prayer. And we're going to have to, so then that we know and experience the power of God as we are witnesses and we witness and testify for him. And the apostle goes on to say that it came in power, and he said, there was such a change in your life that they turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God and to wait for his son from heaven. Is that what you're waiting for? Are you waiting for Jesus? The Bible says Jesus is coming again, doesn't it? Did you know that? He came the first time, but he's coming the second time without sin. Not to deal with sin, but unto salvation. But it says these Christians at Thessalonica, they were waiting for God. It's a bit boring waiting, is it? Do you know, I hate waiting. In fact, if you go shopping with your better half, and you've got to wait, when is she coming? Or if you've got to wait and try, it's horrible waiting, isn't it? But I tell you this, as a Christian, when you're waiting for God, you don't need to be sitting about doing nothing, do you? Sure. What does it say? From you sounded out the word of God so that everybody heard. And he said, we didn't need to say anything because everybody had heard from you about your experience of the Lord Jesus. From you sounded out the word of God. And that's what we should be doing. When you're waiting for the Lord coming, as Christians, we should be sounding out the word of God. We should be sounding out the word of God. Not just sitting on our backsides saying it's a lovely day today, but sounding out the word of God. Because it's the power of God unto salvation to everybody that believes. Now I'm going to put this PowerPoint on for you to watch. What I'm going to share to you today is about a work that began in Cumbria over 100 years ago. And I need to tell you that I wasn't here when it began. I know I look as if I was, but I wasn't here when it all began. And I want to tell you who set it off. And it was set off in the Evangelical Church in Bochigate, Carlisle. Sir John Lang, you know Lang's the Builders? Have you heard of Lang's the Builders? And you don't hear so much of them now. But it was John Lang and one or two others that thought, how can we take the gospel message into Cumbria? How can we share that message in Cumbria? And because they were aware that there were lots of villages where there was no chapel, there was no church. And they thought, these people have not got the opportunity to go to church. Because people in those days, can you remember those days? Of course you can't. I can't. But people walked. And that's why all the footpaths, in the villages are to a church. But if there ain't a church there, you can't go. So they thought, we will take this message, this life-changing message of the God, we will take it to the villages. And so that's what they did. So they got a van. Like this one here, an old van. And they went, in fact, they had a one before that where you lived in, but I haven't got a picture of that one. And they took the gospel message around the villages in Cumbria. Now, we get in Cumbria 40, how many? Is that a million? I think it is. I keep thinking, is it 40,000? Is it 40 million? It's 40 million visitors. You wouldn't believe that, would you? Now there is a verse in the Bible that says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And I think being in Cumbria, as Christians in Cumbria, we could be really idle, couldn't we? Because you know what God's done? He's brought the world to Cumbria. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it? There's no Christians in the world have the same privilege as you and I. Because God has brought the whole world into Cumbria. And that's where we are. We're just, you could walk to Keswick, couldn't you? On a good day, you could walk to Keswick. And you walk into the Lake District. And God is bringing thousands and thousands of people to Cumbria. And we have we started this work. And we now, today, we go to Keswick. And we have a market store just opposite the Skiddaw Hotel. And every Saturday, we have a a stall there. And we get people coming past all day. And from all parts of the world, this chap is from Singapore, and he came with his wife, and we just get so many of them. I didn't realize there were so many different shapes and sizes of people until you stand and watch people walk by. But I tell you this, there's all sorts of different needs as well, isn't there? And you, can you imagine all the different needs that people have as you stand there? And you have to try and engage them and talk. You talk to them. Now, sometimes it isn't always easy to talk to people. Do you find it easy to talk to people? You do? Well, it's good to talk to people. So sometimes you need to ask them a question. And so one day I was just standing on the stall and I went up to this guy. I said, excuse me for a minute. This lady has asked me a question. Can you answer it for me? Why does a black and white cow eat green grass and produce white milk? Can you answer that question for me? He said, I haven't a clue. I've never heard of a question like that before. Well, I said, it's quite a good question there. Black and white cow eats green grass and produces what? How does it do that? Oh, I don't know. Well, I said, don't you think it's not a problem? If God made the cow and he made the grass, why would it be a problem for it to produce white milk? I said, God does amazing things, doesn't he? And didn't you realize that God made everything in our world? And so you meet people, and they come from all sorts of backgrounds, and they have, but it's a matter of starting to talk to them, engaging them. And so I've got a bag here of all sorts of stuff. If I could only find what was in it. We have these little, you've seen these before, haven't you? Graham's seen them before. You've seen these before. And so these are good for the kids because you can open, you can just talk to the children and you say to them, shall I use the big one? So you can see better. For those of you who are a bit older, you won't be able to see too well. So really, you just have this, you see, and you talk to them and say, what's this? This reminds you of grass. And this, because this is gold, it reminds you of somewhere special. And it reminds a Christian of heaven. But then you can't go to heaven because you've got sin in your life. And the black represents sin. And all the things you've done wrong. And there's no chance you're going to get to heaven like that. But then you flick it the other way and it says, there is a red cross. And then you're able to say to them, Jesus died on the cross so that your sin could all be forgiven and so that you can know what it is to take for all the guilt of sin to be taken away. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Isn't it a wonderful thing to know all your sins gone? Isn't that the most wonderful experience in all the world? And then you say, when your sins are forgiven, you've got a white heart. We're cleansed from sin. What a wonderful experience, isn't it? To be cleansed from sin. And then, when your heart is cleansed from sin, you are sure you're going to heaven. And so we just give these, we have these small ones and give them to the children. And then I say to the children, can you remember what I've just said to you? You do that. So they get a hold of it. They get a hold of the thing and they go, I can't just remember. I'll tell you again. So I tell them again. And then when I told them again, I said, right, you go and tell your mom and dad now. And so mum and dad are standing by. And they say, mum, let me show you this, mum. So they tell mum and dad, when you've got a black heart and you need to be forgiven, Jesus died on the cross for you. And when your sins are forgiven, you've got a white heart and you're sure you're going to heaven. And of course, they're quite intrigued the way it does it. And so it's a wonderful way to share the gospel. And we get all sorts of people coming to us. And just for a few minutes, can I share with you just about one or two stories about people that I've met? I've got one or two written down here. There was Keith and Pauline came from Newcastle, and they were both seeking God, asking all sorts of questions. Why evolution? Why creation and so on? And they were asking all sorts of questions about it. And they spent 2 hours So somebody who spends 2 hours with you, and not being argumentative, but just wanting to know, they're seeking God. And that's just a wonderful thing, to meet people that are seeking God, isn't it? And it's just so exciting just to be able to say. And I remember a young lady, she was, I didn't ask her her name, but I'm guessing. She was about 30. She was a Muslim from Sudan. And she talked about being a Christian, what it would mean to be a Christian. And I said to her, you know, if you were to become a Christian, you would have to face persecution in Sudan if you were a Muslim. She said, but I don't live in Sudan. I live in London. I'm at London University. So I said, well, you wouldn't have the persecution, would you then? And so I shared with her the gospel. And she really was very open. She'd never heard the gospel before. And I said, what's your name? She says, Appiah. So I said, I could change your name for you as well. I said, because if you became a Christian, instead of being called Appiah, you could be called Happier, couldn't you? So you could really have your name changed as well. And so you talk to people like that, and just to see the interest and what they've got. I know we stand and we give out tracts at the market. And lots of people will say, no, no. But other people will say, yeah, what's this about? What's it? Oh, yeah, I'm interested. I remember giving a tract out to this 18-year-old. Hand her this leaflet. I don't want it, she said. And her mother said, I'll have it. She said, okay. So she took the leaflet. She said, I'm a Christian. And then she said, but my son, because the father and the son, they were all together. She said, my son is 14, but he's an atheist. He's an atheist. So I went across to him. I said, I'm really pleased to see you. I said, because obviously you're the one in the family with the most faith. No, he said, I'm an atheist. Well, I said, to be an atheist, you must have more faith than all the other ones put together. So he said, well, I don't believe it. I said, look, if I said to you this hotel just evolved over the last 200 years, there was no architect and there was no builder. I said, you would think I was a nutcase. I said, probably you think I am now, actually, but I said, you would really be convinced I was a nutcase. I said, you know that there was an architect. You know that there was a builder. So, and I said, so we went on and talked. And then he said, I think maybe I'm not maybe an atheist then. Maybe I'm an agnostic. And as I talked to him, eventually he became more and more interested. And I said to him, I said, I've got a little fob here, look, which in 5 minutes explains the gospel to you, how to become a Christian. If I switch this on, would you listen to it? He said, yes, I would.
Everyone is interested in his or her future, and today I want to tell you about your future and how God loves you. How he wants to give you a new life, not just here, but for all eternity. How does God speak to us today? Long ago, God gave his thoughts to men, and those thoughts were written down in what we call the Bible. It is amazing that the one and only God, the creator of the universe, and also our maker, has thought about us and made a plan for us so that we can know him as our Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, as our Savior.
As he listened to that, he listened to it, the whole family. I just held it like this, and it's loud enough to stand on the street in Keswick. The whole family stood and listened to it. After they listened to it, I said, I think you need to go and get some literature. 10 reasons to believe in the Bible, 10 reasons to believe in the existence of God, and stuff like that. And So I said, I'll show you where they are. And he went across and picked them all out. It just shows, doesn't it? Somebody that says they're an atheist, a young lad saying, I'm an atheist. And yet, he wasn't really convinced, was he? Isn't it an opportunity to share the word of God? You know, I spoke to this young lady. She was at Durham University. And she was Chinese. And I said to her, well, she said to me, first of all, what's this about? I said, we're just sharing about the Christian faith. And I said, we're sharing how you can know Jesus and how you can become a Christian. And I said to her, has anybody ever explained to you how to become a Christian? She said, no. I said, what do you mean to tell me? You come from China and there's hundreds and thousands upon thousands of Christians in China, and you've never heard how to become a Christian. She said, no. I said, well, would you like me to explain to you how to become a Christian? She said, would you mind doing that? Would you mind doing that? For 5 minutes, or maybe 10 minutes, I shared with her how to become a Christian. And just how Jesus died for her on the cross, and he rose again, and it was all about a relationship and knowing Jesus as your best friend and so on. When I finished, she gets out her camera. She gets out her camera. I said, what are you going to do? She said, I want to take a photograph of you and your friend. And the stall, just the stall here. And she said, I want to show you. I just want to do it because I've never heard anything like this before, and I don't want to ever forget it. So she said, if I take a photograph, it will just remind me of that. Isn't that wonderful? She goes back to Durham University, one of the very high flyers. I think she was going to be a lawyer. But isn't it wonderful to see people just like that? And that's the opportunity you have here in Cumbria. Five teachers walked up to me this one day. Five of them. They were all teachers. And what had they in common? They all had twins. But we shared with them as well. But there was three or four of them didn't really want to know. Only one was really, really interested. And it just to be able to share the gospel with that lady was absolutely amazing. There's a girl called Link, and she comes from Taiwan, lived in Saudi Arabia, and her parents were Buddhists, and she was at Exeter University. That's a complicated one, though, isn't it? Parents were Buddhists, from Taiwan, living in Saudi Arabia, and at Exeter University. But she was so open to the gospel, and just listened there as we shared the gospel. And there are just some people come up and say, can I have a Bible? And we just give the Bibles away. We give them literature and just share the gospel with them. It's just so, it can be disappointing sometimes because some people just couldn't care less. Or you know what it is? Sometimes they take a wide berth. They see you there and they go around like this. They keep out the way. I said, are you allergic to Christianity? Are you allergic to it? Don't worry, it won't harm you. Don't worry, it won't harm you. But, so, Keswick Weekly Market, the witness at Keswick. What I'm really doing, do you know what I'm doing this for? Another reason is that you could come and help, actually. Isn't that a good idea? I thought it was a good idea. So you could just come for a couple of hours, you could come for 8 hours. But I tell you what, you want to wait till the weather gets warm. But it is just a great opportunity. The fields are white under harvest, and you know what the Bible says, the laborers are few. Now I'm going to go to some of the shows now, and this is the Cumberland show. I'm going to flick through these fairly quickly, because Graham will be saying to me, you never show up. This is Penrith show, and that's this old fella here, I don't know who he is, but this one here is called Chris, and he came along to a show at Appleway. Talked to one of my friends on the van, and he explained the gospel to him. And he became a Christian there and there on the field at Appleby. So that was great, wasn't it? Just come to a show and he got saved there. And some of you might know this young lady here. And that's Chris again there. And so when we're at the shows, you see all sorts of people and they're all on leisure. And I know some of you from the church in the barn here used to come and help with the painting faces and that sort of thing. That's a good way to stop people, actually. Painting the faces. Because you get the grandparents, or you get the parents, or you get them both. And they're all standing in the queue. While they're standing in the queue, you can share faith with them, can't you? And so that's what we do. We go around, we've got a van, that van, and we go around a lot of the shows in Cumbria. That's Keswick show last year. Now I want to go to the Gypsies now. And we go to the Gypsy Fair at Appleby. Have you heard of the Gypsy Fair at Appleby? Do you know all about that? Do you know any traveling people? Any of you know any traveling people? Oh, you are traveling people? You're all traveling people? You must all move around. You must be travelers. But the traveling people, they come to Walkup. Of course, that's where I live, in Walkup. And that's, so we get them coming, and we get to know them. And it's just an opportunity to share the gospel with the travelers. And we have some of these. I brought one or two of them that you might. Some of these pictures that we give out to them, and we give bookmarks and that sort of thing. But, you know, it's just great to be able to share the gospel with the traveling folks. I know a lot of people in the village think I'm a nutcase. Say, John loves the gypsies, he should have been a gypsy or whatever. But I just go and talk to them. And I remember being in one of these vans here. One of the nice ones, actually, probably one of these down here. And Sid Harker, who's actually passed away now, he was in, and it was one like this. And Welsh TV came up and said, would you mind if we share, could we take some photographs? And do you mind us doing that? And do you mind talking to us? And so on. So Sid says, no, it's all right. You take photographs. You just make yourself at home. You're very welcome. So I'm sitting in the van with him. So I thought I need to interject some Christian influence here. And so I said to this Welsh TV crew, I said, you know, quite a lot of the travelers are Christians. He said, really? I said, oh, yeah. There's quite a lot of them who are Christians. And they're very interested in the Christian faith. And so that's all I needed to say, really. And Sid pipes up from the back. And he says, of course we're Christians. A lot of us are Christians. We're born again Christians. In fact, he said, that's the only sort of Christians there are. They're the only proper Christians. And in fact, he says, the Bible says, unless you're born again, you can't even see the kingdom of heaven. Yeah. And this TV crew just stood with their mouths open and thought, what's all this about then? So, and I said, I have some leaflets here, I'll give you one. And so we shared the gospel with them, with this TV crew. But isn't it wonderful just to share the gospel with people? Here's Tony and Melanie. This is Tony here, and Melanie here is his daughter. And they were parked where they shouldn't have been in the village. So I went to tell him that he shouldn't be there. But he was, and then he said, what do you do? I said, oh, I've got a farm. So then he started. You farmers have got plenty of money. This and that, the other, and he went on and on and on. And I said, well, I actually haven't got any money to give you. Well, he said, you could at least bring us some food, couldn't you? You could bring us some tins of stuff down. You could bring us this and that and the other. And he was really, really quite irate. So I said, Tony, tell me about your family. How are you doing? How are you getting on? And he just changed that. He says, actually, Melanie's not been too well. She's got trouble with her stomach. So I said, would you mind if we prayed for her? Is that okay for us to pray for her? So he said, yeah. So we prayed for Melanie. And then I talked to her for quite a while. I said, I'll call back later. So I called back later with some leaflets for him. And as I went back next time, he's quite open and listening to me sharing about Jesus, about sharing the gospel. He said, listen. He said, but we are going to Appleby tomorrow. I said, you will be going to Appleby tomorrow, because it was Thursday, that's when they start the fair. And he tried to tell me where they would be. Will you come and see me at Appleby tomorrow, when we get there? Well, I thought, that could be a bit of a job. How on earth do I find you in amongst 10,000 travellers? Anyway, we did eventually find them. We went into this field, and there was a Christian traveller, and he said, Tony's looking for you. And he was looking for us right enough. Some of you know Tony Allison? Do you know Tony Allison from Appleby? Tony often comes with me onto the Gypsy Fair. And we eventually found this Tony here. And we found him on the fair. You know what had happened? He talked to somebody else about the Lord and he got saved. And that's why he wanted to say this, because he'd been saved. And so that was great, wasn't it? So we have a great opportunity. And Tony's called Smiler, actually. That's what they call him at work. They call him Smiler. And that's what all Christians should be. Shouldn't we be Smilers? We all change our name to Smiler, shall we? That's how we should be, because you've got the love of Christ in your heart and in your life. So 10,000 gypsies, 30,000 visitors. That's Appleby Fair. And we just have a great time of opportunity. The Methodist Church let us park across their entrance to their car park, which blocks the entrance to it, but it means we've got a good place because everybody walks past there. Not only everybody, but everything as well, I think, probably. The horses. So you can see us surrounded by horses as well. And it's a great opportunity to share the gospel. Karen here, that's this girl here, the lady here. She's a gypsy. But she stands with us and tells everybody, if you want to be born again, go up onto the hill. And they've got a tent up there. Go up onto the hill and they'll share the gospel with you. And so that's what Karen does. But this guy here, we've got a DVD which we have. And he's got a card and a picture on that, which they got off an American website, actually. But he's on it. And he's not a Christian. But he was quite open to listen to the word of God being shared. And two or three years ago, a team from Northern Ireland came to help us. They came, it was Ronnie McCracken that came across. And he rang me up one day, he said, I come past here when I'm going to Romania. When I'm going to Romania, I often pass on Appleby Bypass. And the Lord's speaking to me about coming to Appleby. And he said, I notice you've got a website, and I notice you do outreach. I said, where are you, Ronnie? He said, I'm actually at Appleby now. I said, why don't you come and see us? He came down to see us. And I said, look, we're short of workers. Can you think of 10,000 gypsies? How would you evangelize them? How would you do it? So what he did was bring a team. When they first came, they said to me, where do we go? So I told them where to go. So you go up onto the field at Appleby. When you go up there, you will see a gate, and there'll be somebody on the gate, and you won't be able to get in. You have to ask about getting in. And he said, who's the leader of the gypsies? And who knows who the leader of the gypsies are? Billy Welch, that's right. I said, Billy Welch is the leader of the gypsies. So anyway, I'll just have to shorten this a little bit because our time's going, didn't it, Graham? And they went up, and this guy says, can we come on and share? And we're Christians. Would you let us go into your field and just talk to the folks? He said, no, I don't think that's a problem. If I say you can go, you can go. If I say you can't, you can't. He said, well, we'll be okay. Yeah. So he said, after a while, Ronnie says, can you tell us your name? He said, I'm Billy Welsh. Oh, he said, I've been praying for you for the last 3 weeks. He said, don't talk stupid. You've never even met me before. How could you have been praying for me for 3 weeks? He said, I tell you this, a friend of mine mentioned your name to me. And he said, you've never got out of my head, and I've prayed for you for 3 weeks. And he didn't know quite what to say. But Billy's talking and saying, but you couldn't not believe there was a God, could you? As you look around the hills and look around. And Billy's talking like this. And then Ronnie said to him about God. And Billy Welsh turned to Ronnie and said, I need God in my life. I need God in my life. Ronnie said to him, I've said to a lot of people, you need God in your life. And wouldn't you say that to somebody? It's God you need. You see the mess there. You need God in your life. And Ronnie said, I've said to a lot of people, you need God in your life. But he said, not too many people have said to me, I need God in my life. And so he said to him, you said you need God in your life. Can I ask you another question? When do you need God in your life? And there was a pause. And Billy Welsh said, now. And he led him to the Lord there and then. So that was their first introduction to the Appleby Gypsy Fair. And since then, they've been coming back and sharing the gospel. They put a tent up. This is Billy Welsh here, and that's Ronnie McCracken. They put a tent up, and they actually have an open-air meeting and a communion service on the Sunday morning, and I was there, that's how I took the photographs. This is the tent, and this is Melanie that gave her life to the Lord. Quite a few of the young people actually got saved there as well. So isn't it wonderful to do that? And this is them in the tent, and some of the young people. The gypsies have got lovely eyes, haven't they? And wonderful hairstyles, wonderful makeup, and all the rest of it. But isn't it wonderful? They need Jesus, don't they? You need God in your life. And that's just that's us praising the Lord outside on a Sunday morning with the dark clouds, but with the love of God shining in our hearts. So that's Cumbria Gospel Outreach. And the promise to sow is, he that goes forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. What I'm going to say to you is, what are you going to do? Isn't it great to have this opportunity to be able to share the gospel today? Isn't it exciting? I'm going to close, because I must close, because Graham said, this guy is not coming back here, because we can't even get our lunch for him. He just goes on and on and on. There's a little word that says, you are a special people. The special people of God. It's in 1 Peter, I think. It's in chapter 2. You are a special people. People of God. And I haven't got time to go into it. I would have talked a bit more about that, but I'm not going to do it. A special people for one purpose, that you might show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Isn't that an amazing verse? Out of what's it mean to be called out of darkness? Well, if you're in the dark, it means you haven't a clue where you are. It means you're lost, isn't it? And what a wonderful thing it is, called out of darkness into the marvelous light of the gospel, and to know and be sure you're saved, and you know where you're going, and to be know where you're going. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Out of darkness, not into his light, but into his marvelous light. What a wonderful thing it is to be called out of light. But what's the purpose? That you might show forth the praises of him. That's it. Show or proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness. When we come together in worship, what are we doing? We're showing forth the praises. We're praising the Lord together. But we need to praise the Lord outside as well as inside, don't we? Let's go out to a lost world. Share the love of Jesus on Valentine's Day. Share the love of Jesus on Valentine's Day. And just like the girl that was from, the Chinese girl from the Durham University, never heard it before. That's amazing, she said. Never heard anything like that. Do you know that you've got neighbors like that? You've got neighbors and friends. You've got people who are just, we're living, there are 1.5% of the UK population that are evangelical and good. No, sorry, that is in Scotland. That's Scottish. But I think England isn't much better, if at all. Do you know this? How many percentage of Christians share their faith? Over 75% of Christians have never shared their faith with anybody, and they've never led anybody to the Lord. Now that's not a good statistic, is it? Not good. Will you go from the church in the barn? Will you go and share the wonderful love of Jesus? Sounded forth the word of the Lord, so they went everywhere, talking and sharing about Jesus. To sound out, proclaiming the praises of the Lord. Not talking about the church, but talking about Jesus. Amen. Follow the Lord. Share the gospel. Get excited. Never mind about your heart attacks and all that sort of thing. If I can do it at whatever age I am, I wouldn't dare tell you what age I'm, would I? Of course I wouldn't. I wouldn't dare. But I tell you this. If I can go and stand in a market stall at Keswick for a whole day, some of you could do the same, couldn't you? And you could share your faith at home, at work, wherever you are. That's the going to all the world and preach the gospel. What did I say? God has brought the world to Cumbria so you can be a bit idle. Just share with your neighbors.